Well, the sermon is, who are the Gentiles? So there's a lot of false doctrine about the Gentiles in churches and in this world today. So this is why we must use the Word of God for all of our doctrine. Like, who are the Gentiles? Have you ever wondered that when you've been reading the Bible? Because the Gentiles are listed all throughout the New Testament. You'll find them a lot in the Old Testament too. So let's use the Bible today to find the truth about Gentiles and who they are. So do we need to know this truth? Like who are the Gentiles? So yes, false doctrine will continue when you get this wrong. So if we search for the words Gentile and Gentiles in the Bible, we're going to find 131 matches in 123 verses. So we're not going to go over all 123 verses today, but we're going to cover many of them today. So as you see in the chart there, we see Gentile or Gentiles in 30 verses of the book of Acts. That's number one up there. So as you're reading the book of Acts, you might say, well, who are the Gentiles? You know, it's mentioned 30 times in the book of Acts. So we see 21 times in Romans, 15 times in Isaiah, 8 times in Matthew, 6 times in Galatians, and so on. So if you look down there to Genesis, can you find Genesis on the chart there? We see that there's one instance of Gentiles in that book. So where do you think the first time in the Bible the word Gentile shows up? In Genesis. So that happens to be the first verse in the Bible with the word Gentiles. So all the way back to Genesis. So we're going to start there for this study about Gentiles and find the truth today. So we go to Genesis chapter 10. Genesis 10 verse 1. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah. So look, we go all the way back to Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. So we're going to see the genealogy of Noah's three sons in Genesis chapter 10. As we continue in verse 2, you're going to see that the Gentiles are from Japheth. So Japheth is the oldest son of Noah. And let's read in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 10. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, and pay attention to these names, right? Gomer and Magog. You say, I don't want to listen to these names. Well, they are important. That's why God put them there. Gomer and Magog, Amadai and Javan and Tubal and Meshech and Tyrus. And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz and Rephath and Togarmah. And the sons of Javan, Elisha and Tarshish, Kittim and Dodanim. So Japheth has how many sons? He has seven sons right there. Two of those sons are Gomer and Javan. So we see the sons of Gomer and the sons of Javan listed out right there too. So now let's move to the very next verse of Genesis chapter 10, verse 5. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands. You see that? By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families in their nation. So the Gentiles came from Japheth, who was the oldest son of Noah. Do you ever hear that taught in churches? And Gentiles shows up in the Bible a lot. The Gentiles didn't come from Ham, and they didn't come from Shem. So remember, Abraham came from Shem's line, who was the middle son of Noah. And notice the words that you see there in verse 5 again. It says, the isles of the Gentiles. What does that mean? So isles or islands or land along the coast. Doesn't always mean an island. It's land along the coast that meets the water. So it's the land that is met by water. So Gentiles lived along the isles or the coasts. So Genesis chapter 10 verse 5 there also includes the first time that the word isles is used in the King James Bible. Right there. So if we take a look at more scripture with the word isles, we're going to find the following. And look, I want you to keep in mind some of the names that we see in the following verses. And why is that? Because we're going to go back to the names of the sons of Japheth, and you're going to see those names there. So Esther 10 verse 1. And the king Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land and upon the isles of the sea. So I'm looking at the word isles now. So it says the isles of the sea. So obviously isles are related to water and the sea. Remember, Gentiles, isles, right? Psalm 72, verse 10. The kings of Tarshish, do you remember that name? We just read it. Son of Japheth, right? The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. So the kings of Tarshish and of the isles. Tarshish is the name of a son of Javan, who is a son of Japheth. So Tarshish is an area where the Gentiles lived. And that area was named after who? Japheth's grandson. That's where that name comes. So a lot of these nations, they're named after somebody, right? That's where they came from. Isaiah 23, verse 1. Watch the name that you see here. The burden of Tyre, how, ye ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste so that there is no house, no entering in from the land of Kittim, it is revealed to them. There's three of them listed right there. Be still, ye inhabitants of the isle, thou whom the merchants of Zidon that pass over the sea have replenished. So we see Tyre in verse 1 there, right? You see that? Well, Tyrus was one of Japheth's seven sons. So Tyre is on the coast. Verse 2 says, be still, ye inhabitants of the isle. So Tyre is seen today on the coast of Lebanon. Hey, it's still there at the Mediterranean Sea. So here's a map showing Tyre today. So you see it over there on the far right. So you can kind of see that you'll see northern Africa in the north, south. There you see Algeria, Libya, Egypt. So you got northern Africa there. You see the three countries there, Algeria, Libya, Egypt. You'll see the boot of Italy. Do you see that up there at the top, Callie? You see Italy up there. You see Greece. You see Israel. So all of that land around the coast there, that's like the isles, right? So you see Israel over there on the right. You see Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon on the east of the map there. So you see the pen there, that's Tyre. So if I zoom in a little bit more, that's what I'm going to show in the next slide. I'm going to zoom in a little bit more, and you see this. So Damascus is there to the east, and a little bit north from Tyre. So you'll see the Sea of Galilee southeast of Tyre there. You'll see Jerusalem directly south, about 100 miles, right? And that's the area that we're probably talking about here in the Bible, right? Israel's right there. Jerusalem's there. Notice that Tyre is on the coast of what? Of the Mediterranean Sea. And remember, Tyrus is a son of Japheth. So let's see what other verses we can find in the Bible with isles. Isaiah 23, verse 6. Pass ye over to Tarshish, how ye inhabitants of the isle. Is this your joyous city, whose antiquity is of ancient days? Do you see that right there? Of ancient days. Her own feet shall carry her afar off to sojourn, who had taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traffickers are the honorable of the earth. So Tarshish is a city of ancient days. So look, you can't go back much further than right after the flood, can you? For our existence, this was right after the flood, the sons of Noah. So that's an ancient city. So Tarshish is a grandson of Japheth, who's on the ark with Noah. So then we see Tyre again in this scripture, Isaiah 24, verse 15. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel, in the isles of the sea. So you see isles of the sea again right there. Isaiah 42, verse 10. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles, and the inhabitants thereof. So the end of the land where it meets the sea is called the isles. And notice, that's very important to understand. It says all the way to the isles. What does that mean? Think about that literally. It's to the uttermost part of the earth, because that is where the earth or the land ends and goes into water. So God says to the isles, to the coast, to the edge of the earth, right? Because you're about to step in the water. Isaiah 60, verse 9. Surely the isles shall wait for me and the ships of Tarshish first to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them under the name of the Lord thy God and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. So the isles, hey, guess what they need? They need ships. The ships of Tarshish. Isaiah 66, verse 19, and I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan. Do you remember those names? To the isles afar off that have not heard my fame. So all the way to the edges of the earth that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. So we see Javan and Tubal, the names of the sons of Japheth, mentioned with the isles afar off. So we see Tarshish again. We see the word Gentiles mentioned here again with the isles. So what do we learn here about the Gentiles? They escaped from that area and went far away to the coast. So they went to the edge of the land and got far away from the others. So the Bible says right there, the Gentiles have not heard my fame. The Gentiles have not seen my glory. Guess what? God will send those that escape the other nations to the Gentiles to declare His glory. Jeremiah 2, verse 9. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Kittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently and see if there be such a thing. So do you see Kittim there? So one of the sons of Javan, or Javan, is Kittim. So he was a grandson of Japheth. Verse 10 says, pass over the isles of Kittim. That was named after Japheth's grandson, Kittim. Do you see that now? That's why the names are important. We can tie all of this together in the Bible. Jeremiah 25, verse 22, and all the kings of Tyrus, and all the kings of Zidon, and the kings of the isles which are beyond the sea, Dedan and Tema and Buz, and all that are in the utmost corners. So what do you see there again? You see Tyrus now. And remember, one of the names of the sons of Japheth, he is named Tyrus. So all the kings of Tyrus, the kings of the isles. Jeremiah 31, verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. And the isles are afar off. So what's God saying? He's going to take His word all the way out to the ends of the earth. Ezekiel 27, verse 3, and say unto Tyrus, right? And say unto Tyrus, O thou that art situate at the entry of the sea, which art a merchant of the people for many isles, thus saith the Lord God, O Tyrus, thou hast said, I am of perfect beauty. Thy borders are in the midst of the seas. Thy builders have perfected thy beauty. Next verse, Ezekiel 27, verse 5. They have made all thy ship boards of fir trees of Senir. They have taken cedars from Lebanon to make masts for thee. Of the oaks of Bashan have they made thine oars. The company of the Asherites have made thy benches of ivory brought out of the isles of Kittim. Do you see how all that goes together now? You're starting to see where these locations are. So you should start to see the connections here. So now you know where these cities came from. They came from Noah's son, Japheth, and his descendants. So the Gentiles come from Japheth, the oldest son of Noah, and they moved out to the coast. And remember, Japheth wasn't an evil son of Noah, was he? So it says, thy borders are in the midst of the seas, Tyrus and Kittim. Revelation 1. So you all know Revelation chapter 1 really well, right? Revelation 1 verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So that's the last time that you see the word isle is when John was on the island of Patmos. It was surrounded by water. So isle goes right along with island. So isles are on the far coast and are bordered by water. So for example, Panama City Beach, that would be an isle city, right? It's right along the coast right there. Any city on the coast of the United States, you could call it an isle city. So now you know that the Gentiles are actually the people who lived along the coast. And remember, isles is pronounced within the word Gentiles. So you should see that now. I-S-L-E-S, right? That should help you remember that. Isles right there at the end of Gentiles. So Judges 4, verse 2, and the Lord sowed them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. So it says, when you're reading Judges chapter 4, Harosheth of the Gentiles. And then you'll automatically know that that was along the coast, right? You're getting close to the coast. So Harosheth is only shown in Judges chapter 4. You won't see that named anywhere else in the Bible. It isn't found anywhere else in the Bible. Not one other place but Judges chapter 4. So you'll know that this is talking about a city along the coast because it's a Gentile city. And if you do a little research, you'll find the approximate location of this battle in Judges chapter 4. Do you remember Judges chapter 4? Verse 13, and Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river of Kishon. So you could try to find that, right? You'll know about where this battle happened in Judges chapter 4. And you're going to look along the coast somewhere. Judges 4, verse 16, but Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. So you see the word Gentiles again. So we look up the river Kishon, and we find this map. And look at where this battle most likely happened right there. From the coast to the west of the marker right there, all the way to the Kishon River. Do you see it right there? So whenever you see the word Gentiles there, you now understand what the Bible means. So they're along the coast somewhere where it meets water. They are not in the big middle part of the land. So Jews, so think about this. Everybody talks about Jews and Gentiles. So who was first? Did the Gentiles exist first or did the Jews exist first? So Jews weren't in existence when the Gentiles first existed. Jews come from Judah, right? Just like Americans come from America. Well, Judah didn't exist yet, right? When Noah's son Japheth, although Noah wasn't a Jew, was he? Nothing like that. So Jacob is Israel, right? Jacob is Israel, and he's further, way further down the road from Noah and his sons. So the Gentiles come from Japheth all the way. It says ancient city. Remember that? So this is why the isles of the Gentiles are called ancient. So they were before the Jews. So the Gentiles weren't right in the middle of the promised land. Do you see that? They had the promised land. The Gentiles weren't right in the middle of it. They were in faraway lands. So that's what the Bible is teaching us about the Gentiles. Isaiah 11, verse 10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. So the word Gentile is very important to understand within the Bible. It's a faraway people. So they moved all the way to the end of the land, to the coast. Isaiah 42, verse 1, behold, my servant, whom I uphold. And look, this is all the way back to the book of Isaiah. Because a lot of people today say, well, we're the Gentiles and only we can be saved now and all this. Hey, this is the book of Isaiah. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect. And before I go any further, remember how Peter and all of them were so surprised that the Gentiles could now be saved. Do you remember that in the book of Acts? I mean, they were surprised. It took all of those signs from God to tell them when. Did they not have the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the Old Testament? And the Gentiles came from Japheth and all. They had all of those scriptures, just like we do. Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Verse 4. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. Verse 6, I the Lord have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. So God is going to bring salvation to everyone. It doesn't matter where you're at any time in history. It didn't matter where you were, what nation you were from, all the way to the coast. God's going to bring salvation to everyone who believes on Jesus Christ, even all the way to the Gentiles in the faraway areas of the land, to the ends of the earth. That's what God says. So if you think I'm wrong about the Gentiles, because some people say, well, you're wrong. Well, maybe this next scripture will prove this for you, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, because it says just about exactly what I just said. Isaiah 49, verse 6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. So salvation, it's not just for the Jews. It's never been just for the Jews. Never just for the children of Israel. Well, Noah wasn't a child of Israel. He wasn't a child of Jacob. He was before that. So salvation to the end of the earth. The Gentiles are at the end of the earth on the coast. So it's the literal end of the land. It's where the earth meets the sea. So we know that there is no end. You know, back then, there is no end of the actual earth where we fall off into space, right? Because the earth is round. So when you see end of the earth, think about what that actually means. There is a literal end of the earth that we walk on when the earth meets the water, ocean, or sea. It says, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles all the way out to the ends of the earth, to the Gentiles. Can God not be any more clear right there? And then Peter and all that in the book of Acts. Salvation to the Gentiles? You know, it was all there in the Bible. God wants the entire earth to be saved. And a lot of them didn't know that. That was the mystery of God that we've talked about before. Everyone can be saved. Doesn't matter who your dad and mom is. Doesn't matter if you came from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, any of them. Everybody can be saved, even the Gentiles. Isaiah 45, verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Did they not see this? He says all the way to the ends of the earth, to the Gentiles. Salvation, I'm bringing it to all of you. Psalm 98, verse 3. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. So was anybody saved that wasn't an Israelite? I mean, this is the book of Psalms. Yeah, there were all kinds of people saved that weren't the children of Israel. It says all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. People from all over the earth have been saved. Psalm 67, verse 2. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. All nations. Not just the nation of Israel. I mean, how can everybody miss this? And we sing this song, remember? So all nations, all people, even to the Gentiles. Zechariah 8, verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. He's not talking about one little section, this east side, west side. He's talking about to the ends of the earth. And I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. So God is going to save His people. Not everybody are His people. He said, I'm going to save my people who believe on Him and have become His children through faith. And it doesn't matter who you are and what nation you're from. All you got to do is believe on Jesus Christ. And anybody can do it. So He's going to save those people no matter where they are. From the west to the east, He will save them. And He's not lying about that. So whosoever believeth in Him will be saved. 1 Timothy 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Do you see that? Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. So God wants all people to be saved. Is that not what He says throughout the Bible? But what do they got to do? He doesn't save everybody and say, well, all of you are my children. Like the false churches teach, you have to believe on Him to be the Savior. And once you believe on Him as the Savior, then He says, I'll save you. So there's a condition to His love. It's not unconditional love. You have to believe what He says. So Jesus gave Himself. What does that say? Like the Calvinist. Oh, Jesus only died for the ones that He knew was going to believe on Him. Is that what? Who gave Himself a ransom for only the people who are going to believe on Him? No, He gave Himself a ransom for all. What does that mean? That means anybody can be saved. Anybody that believes on Jesus Christ. This means His saving power. It goes all the way out to the Gentiles. That's what that means. So Isaiah 49 verse 22. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles. And look, we're still in Isaiah. It's talking about the Gentiles constantly. And set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. Isaiah 54, verse 3. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Talking about these people are going to be saved too. So God is preaching over and over throughout the Bible that salvation is not only to the children of Israel. So Noah was not part of the children of Israel. You can go back and read the Bible. He was before them. Noah wasn't a Jew. He didn't have the law of Moses, did he? He didn't have all of those laws. Salvation came to Noah too. Because why? Because Noah believed and trusted in God. And guess what? If Noah didn't believe and trust in God, do you think he would have built the ark? Look at what he did. That's how you know Noah was saved. He told Noah, hey, Noah, there's going to be a flood. Noah's like, what are you talking about? No, Noah, there's going to be a flood. I want you to build this ark. And what did Noah do? He chose to believe God and he did it. And God tells us all of these things in the Bible. And we can be like Noah or not. We can believe what God says or not believe what he says and choose to listen to all the other people in the world who act like they're Bible experts and want to lie about what God says. No, we need to listen to what God actually says. So because of Noah's belief, Noah was saved by the flood. Do you see how that's a picture of salvation? I mean, God's trying to show us, believe what I say, trust in what I say, and I'll save you, just like I saved Noah in the flood. So Noah's son Shem, was he a Jew? Noah's son Shem wasn't a Jew. Abel wasn't a child of Jacob or Israel, all the way back to Abel. So he was far, far before them. Abel wasn't a Jew. Enoch, who God took up to heaven, who he loved, God says, I love him. Was Enoch a Jew? No, he wasn't a Jew. God sure loved Enoch, and he was not a Jew. So there isn't only Jews in heaven like the Jews may have once believed. So just think of all the examples within the Bible. Have you not read? Have you not seen the examples within the Bible? Do you remember the Ethiopian man that helped Jeremiah? Yeah, guess what? He's in heaven. He wasn't a Jew. Joseph's wife, right? Well, she wasn't. King Nebuchadnezzar, I think he was finally saved, right? God sticks him out in the wild, and then he sees the truth finally. Hey, there's hundreds of examples of people who were not Jews, and they were being saved. Hey, Ruth wasn't a Jew. Moabitess. So the prophet Isaiah is preaching this over and over and over and over and over again. Salvation to the Gentiles. So salvation to all nations of this world. That's what that means. And not just the Jews. All the way to the Gentiles. So can Jews be saved today too? Yes, they can. He said all nations. So, but not while they're practicing Judaism, which doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. They hate Jesus. So what would you call the people that hate Jesus and reject Him? 1 John 2, verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Hey, you have to believe that Jesus is the Christ to be saved and go to heaven. Doesn't matter if you're from Abraham. Doesn't matter if you were Abraham. If you didn't believe, you're not going to heaven. So he is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So they're Antichrist. You think they're going to go to heaven by denying Jesus Christ, who is God? Hey, they don't know the Father if they deny the Son. That's what the Bible says. 1 John 4, verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So already at that time it was in the world, and guess what? It's even stronger today. So for some reason the Jews don't want to hear about Jesus Christ, and he's their king. He is the king of the Jews, but they don't want to hear about him. They are Antichrist because God says so. The religion of Judaism, what do they think? They think it's all about them, and they're the only ones. So Abraham wasn't a Jew. Isaac wasn't a Jew. So what is a Jew? Well, let's find out. So I looked up the words Jew, Jewess, Jewish, Jewry, Jews, Jewses, and found this. Okay, I want to show you all the instances of those words in the Bible. And you can see it in this chart. So that's the books of the Bible in order. The Old Testament on the left, down the left, and then back up, and then down again, and then the New Testament on the right, all the way from Matthew to Revelation. So that's the books of the Bible in order, and the number of times the word Jew or related word is found. So do you notice where the first time the word Jew is found in the Bible? So you got none in Genesis. You got none in Exodus. Think about that. You know where Abraham is, where Noah is, all of them, where Abel is, Adam is. No times in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. None in 1 Kings. The first time that we see Jew is in 2 Kings. Now think about that. Joshua, was he a Jew? Joshua wasn't a Jew. Boaz wasn't. What happened in 2 Kings? Why do Jews show up now? So God has leaders that He had chosen in Genesis to 1 Samuel, right? God chose all the leaders. He chose Moses, Aaron to lead. God's chosen leaders were not kings. Why? Why did God not have kings? Because He is the king. He said, I'm your king. You all just do what I say. I am the king. Right? He would choose the man to lead over His people. So in 1 Samuel, the people wanted a king to be their leader and not God. Right? In 1 Samuel. So we see Saul as king of Israel. Then we see Saul die. Then we see David become the king over Israel. David dies. Solomon becomes the king in the book of 1 Kings. And then Solomon dies. Towards the middle of 1 Kings, we see the kingdom split. And after Solomon is dead, that's when the kingdom splits. It was a punishment, remember? He went after false gods. So the kingdom of Israel split into Israel in the north and Judah in the south. Now there is a kingdom called Judah at this point in time. Now there is a kingdom called Judah. So the people who lived in that kingdom were called what? Jews. That's where the Jews came from. So we live in America again. We're called Americans. This is why you don't see the word Jews or anything like it until 2 Kings. So Jerusalem is the capital city of Judah. So if you wonder where Judah is, well, it's around Jerusalem. So people from Jerusalem would be called Jews. So here's the first occurrence of the word Jews within the entire Bible. 2 Kings 16 verse 5. And you might remember this story. Then Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel. So Pekah is the king of Israel. Came up to Jerusalem to war, and they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. At that time, Rezin, king of Syria, recovered Elath to Syria and drave the Jews from Elath. And the Syrians came to Elath and dwelt there unto this day. So you see Jews in verse 6 right there. First time. So Rezin, the king of Syria, and the king of Israel, Pekah, they come to Jerusalem for war against the king of Judah named Ahaz. So the king of Syria drove the Jews from Elath, and the Syrians lived there in Elath. And that's the first time we see the word Jews in the Bible. Jews are from Judah. So again, Judah didn't exist in Abraham's time. Abraham wasn't a Jew. Moses was not a Jew. All the tribes of Israel were not Jewish or Jews or from the tribe of Judah. Not all of them were from the tribe of Judah either. So many preachers will group everybody who has ever lived into two groups, Jews and Gentiles. Is that right? Everybody that's ever lived? Was Abraham a Jew or a Gentile? No, he wasn't. That's wrong. It's not right. So there aren't just Jews and Gentiles. Abraham didn't live in Judah. Not just Jews and Gentiles. Understand that. There's Israelites from the tribe of Reuben, for example, or Simeon or Issachar. So there's 11 other tribes besides the tribe of Judah. So understand this today. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Verse 4. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. I think that's rhyming, isn't it? So God is teaching us that even the Gentiles shall come to His light. I mean, over and over again. So did you notice that the first use of the word Jews is in 2 Kings, like we just talked about, right? So did you notice where the first use of the word Gentiles is within the Bible? So again, here's that same chart, except now we're looking at Gentiles. So if you look at this, so just like we read earlier, the first time the word Gentile is used in the Bible is in Genesis. And look, where else is it after Genesis? It's in blue underlined. You see it in Judges. Remember, we read that, Judges chapter 4. Hey, the Jews show up much later on, again. So Gentiles existed before the Jews and the kingdom of Judah. Gentiles came from Japheth, a son of Noah. So nobody teaches any of these things. So most churches never study anything from the Bible like this. Well, why not? It's important. God put it in there. So I've chosen this today just so you can see how to study the Bible. When you see a word, you say Gentiles. Well, I don't know what that means. Well, I've heard preachers say, well, it's everybody else but the Jews. Right? And I've said that before because I repeated it. And guess what? It's wrong. So use the Scriptures to form your doctrine. Isaiah 60, verse 16. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. So who's he talking to? He's talking to all the way out to the Gentiles, everybody. Jesus Christ was born of Jacob or Israel. His physical ancestors were from Israel and Judah, the son of Israel. So Jacob was the son of faith, remember? That's where Jesus came from. His physical line came from there. The Israelites were children of faith, right? That's what they were. And again, that they were the children of faith. So the Gentiles were not known as the children of faith back then, were they? So, but the children of Israel, hey, they were chosen to bring God's words of faith to the entire world. That's what Abraham was doing. Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So Jesus is the Mighty One of Jacob and the King of the Jews. He is the Mighty One of the Jews. Jesus was not a Gentile, but he will bring salvation to the Gentiles, to the literal ends of the earth. So all throughout the earth and to the literal ends of the earth where the Gentiles are located. Isaiah 62, verse 2. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord shall name. So notice all of these times Gentiles is mentioned just in the book of Isaiah. There are 15 times in Isaiah. So that goes all the way back to Isaiah. So he's constantly telling the children of Israel and the Jews that Gentiles will have salvation too. Is he not? But for some reason, again, it's a surprise to Peter and the disciples of Jesus Christ. So were they not reading the book of Isaiah? And yes, Jesus went to the Jews first. Why? Just like in the Bible. He gave it to the Jews first, right? And then he says, hey, you need to go to everyone, to all the nations. So were they not reading the book of Isaiah? Think about that. Obviously they weren't, were they? So salvation would come to all people through Jesus. So God opened their eyes, right? God did that just like he did for us. God opened their eyes and then they finally saw that all people could be saved. So if there's stuff like that in the Bible that we're not seeing, then we should pray, God, open our eyes, because they were missing it. And I'm sure we're missing all kinds of stuff in the Bible. Jeremiah 16, verse 19, it's not just in Isaiah either. O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies. Do you all see this? The Gentiles are going to say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. Guess what? That's what's happened, is it not? Jeremiah 16, continuing next, verse 20. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know mine hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. So Jeremiah says to the Gentiles, from the ends of the earth will realize that they have been told lies. Hey, and that's exactly what we have realized. And that's why we're in this church right now, today, because we've been lied to. God has now shown us the truth. We know that God's name is the Lord. So God has caused us to know His hand and His might. Has He not? So we've had false gods before, but guess what? No more. We will listen to what God says, and we will not have false gods. Ezekiel 4, verse 13, and the Lord said, even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, whither I will drive them. He's saying, I'm going to drive them all the way out, right? I'm going to drive them out of the land. So where's he going to drive them out of the land? To the edges of the earth where the Gentiles are located. So they're going to be among the Gentiles. So I want to move to the New Testament now and find Gentiles there. Tons of occurrences of Gentiles in the New Testament. Matthew 4, and I'm not going to go over all of them. Verse 13, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. So do you all see that? That should make a little bit more sense now. I'm going to continue reading verse 16. So he's going all the way to the coast right there of Galilee. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. Do you see that? The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Who's that light? Jesus Christ. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So again, we see the Gentiles mentioned around the seacoast beyond the Jordan River. So Jesus leaves Nazareth and goes along the coast of the Sea of Galilee. So remember, the Sea of Galilee is on the intersection there, but it's still called Gentiles because it's on the coast of a big sea. And this is Galilee of the Gentiles. Isaiah's prophecy would be fulfilled right there by Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read that to you. Isaiah 9, verse 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. So look, Jesus fulfills this prophecy in Matthew chapter 4 when he goes to the Gentiles in that area. Right then he goes to the Gentiles. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Now when you see Gentiles in the Bible, you'll know that it's talking about people on the coast of the bodies of water. But we also see this in the Bible, and I want to show you this, and this is where other people get this, the other, where it's all Gentiles or all the rest of the nations and then the Jews, right? So pay attention to this one, because now you know the background of the Gentiles from the Old Testament. So it's changing a little bit here because it's been such a long time, right? Like we're all the way in Matthew now. Matthew 6, verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. So pay attention to that. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So notice again, before I flip this over, verse 32 in Matthew chapter 6 says, for all these things do the Gentiles seek. So there's a cross reference, right? We're in Matthew. It's a gospel. Hey, how many other gospels do we got? We've got more of them. So there's a cross reference to Luke chapter 12, verse 30. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Remember, it just said do the Gentiles. Well, now it says do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. So now we see the Bible say, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Well, it was the Gentiles seek after. So the nations of the world are referred to as Gentiles here. The nations of the world. So other nations that were not physical Israel, right? They're referred to as Gentiles here. Why? Because the Gentiles are everywhere, all over the world. There's a lot of sea coast too, is there not? So they are the nations of the world. Matthew 12, verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Verse 19, he shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break. Does that sound familiar from earlier, from Isaiah? And smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. So a lot of people read the book of Matthew and say, oh, this is something new. Now the Gentiles can be saved. Well, did you not read Isaiah? It's in Isaiah too, all the way back there. So after Jesus arose from the dead, he commands the disciples to do what? Do you remember this at the end of the book of Matthew? Let's see what he says. And notice what it says exactly. Okay, I want you to see the exact words. Matthew 28, verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19, watch what he says. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Was this before the book of Acts? Yeah, it is before the book of Acts. He says, go and teach all nations. To who? To Peter. Peter should have been like, oh, he said all nations. But no, he still gets surprised later, right? Over and over again. Just like us when we couldn't see the truth in the Bible, right? God has to open your eyes. So Jesus says to go and teach all nations, baptize all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So God never said it's just His children of Israel that are going to be saved and that's it. Or He wouldn't have took up Enoch because he wasn't a child of Israel. So look, this is going to include the Gentiles and not just the Jews, right? But did the disciples do this right here? The ones that were there right now? Hey, Paul wasn't there right there. Did the other ones go do this? No, they didn't go do it. So they were surprised to learn from Peter that the Gentiles could be saved too. So why would you go teach all the other nations when you don't think they can be saved, right? That's why they're not going to do it. Acts 10, verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. Do you see that? They're astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So they were astonished. So if you read the Bible, how were they astonished? So Isaiah preaches it all throughout the book over and over again. Remember, Steve, like he's going to use the book. You know, they're using the book of Isaiah. He was using that to preach. Right? You see that all throughout the Bible. So it's everywhere. The Gentiles can be saved too. But this astonished them. So let's not be astonished by things that are clearly written in the Bible. We don't want to be that way either, right? So we might be doing some of the same things today. Hey, we got to hear the Word of God. That's why we slow down and look at it. We don't want to be astonished like this with truth from the Bible. And Jesus shows them and said, you didn't read that? Like, look at that. It's so clear. You didn't read it. Just like how to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There is nothing else there. And in the end, guess who's going to be astonished that all it was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these so-called Christian denominations, they're going to be astonished because Jesus is going to say, get away from me. I never knew you. I didn't once know you and you lost it. I never knew you. Acts 11 verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the Word of God. So Gentiles had been receiving the Word of God. Did it just start right there? They'd been receiving it for thousands of years before this. But for some reason, this astonished them. Would you truly believe? Let's go all the way back to Japheth. Would you truly believe that none of Japheth's descendants were saved? Japheth's father was Noah, and he went through the flood with Noah. So do you think that Noah might have taught some of his grandchildren about God? Think about that. He lived a long time. So Gentiles have been saved from their beginning, guaranteed. Not all of them, though. Just because they're a Gentile, does the Bible ever say that? Oh, well, we're Americans. God's going to save all of us because we are Americans. That's what the Jews say. Because we're physical Israel, we are all going to be saved. No, you're not. Who's going to be saved? Only the ones who change their mind and believe on Jesus Christ. So as far as salvation goes, there's never been a difference in Jews and Gentiles. So only the Jews thought that there was a difference, and they were amazed to find out that there is no difference. So even after so many of them saw the truth about salvation, the Jews still wouldn't believe it. Even after Peter and all them woke up and saw it, the Jews said, no, we don't believe that. It's in the Scriptures everywhere. They won't believe it today. But they'll say, yeah, we follow the God of the Bible, just the first five books. Well, it's all throughout there too. Noah's not an Israelite. What about Noah? Oh, he was a fairy tale. You know, they make up all of this stuff. The Jews still believe that it's only them because they are physical descendants. They're Jews. God never says that. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care who you are and where you came from because He made all of you. Acts 13, verse 45, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. Do you see that? They were filled with envy because they were doing good and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. That's what will happen. Acts 13, next verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. They weren't scared because why? They had the Holy Spirit of God and said, it was necessary that the Word of God should first have been spoken to you. Paul said, it was necessary that you heard it first. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Do you see that? He says, God says, fine. You don't want anything to do with me. Hey, I got all kinds of other people. I'm turning it over to the Gentiles now. Acts 13, continuing verse 47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. So Paul was referred to as the apostle to the Gentiles. The other original disciples, apostles, they didn't do what Jesus said to do. You can see that. Jesus shows up to Paul, says, I'll find somebody else. Paul, you're the one. Guess what? And then Paul does what Jesus says to do. So notice the books of the Bible that Paul writes. Have you ever noticed those? Who does he write them to? They're to churches. Well, what churches? To all the Jewish synagogues? No, Gentile churches. That's who he's writing to. He's writing to the Romans, the Corinthians. They're not children of Israel. The Galatians, the Ephesians, the Philippians, the Colossians, the Thessalonians. Do you see this now? I wanted you to see that. Some people don't notice it. He went to all nations that he could get to. Paul was trying to get to all the other nations that he could get to. Paul did that. Remember some, he says, I'm not sure if I'm going to make it back to you all. Right? I'm not sure I'm going to make. He had the whole world to get to. One man was doing what Jesus said to do. Right? The others weren't listening. Not just one. There was more of them, but Paul was chosen to do that. And he did it. Romans 1 verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also. Hey, all you need is one piece of fruit with these people, and that fruit should spread it to the other ones, even as among other Gentiles. So Paul calls the Romans, he's writing to Romans right here, he calls them Gentiles. You see that? Romans 2 verse 8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, like all these other denominations. They won't obey what Jesus actually says. Listen to his words. He says, indignation and wrath to them, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. So for those who don't obey the truth, this is what you need to see today. And you all already know this, but tribulation and anguish to who? Do the Jews get by with this? No. God says to the Jew first, you're going to have it first, and also to the Gentile. Hey, guess what does that tell you? He doesn't care who you are. If you want to do evil, God says, I'll take care of you. I don't care where you came from. You came from me. I gave you life. And he goes, and I'll take it away anytime I want. Romans 2, verse 10, but glory, honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. So if you want to worketh good, God says, I'll give you glory and honor. To who? Is that just to the Jews? No. God says to the Jew and to the Gentile. Why is that? Because he doesn't respect persons. So he doesn't care what nation you're from. He doesn't care at all. No respect of persons with God. Zero. You say, but God, my dad is this. My dad's Donald Trump. You can't do this to me. My dad is Joe Biden. You can't do this to me. God doesn't care. Do you understand who God is? He doesn't come from the dirt like us. He comes from heaven. He is eternal. Romans 3, last verse. Verse 29, is he the God of the Jews only? Well, that's what they'll say. I mean, Paul answers it right here. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith. He said, I'll justify the circumcision, which is the Jews, by works, like they think. He says, by faith, and the uncircumcision, which is represented by the Gentiles. What does he say? An uncircumcision through faith. Hey, never through works. The religion of Judaism is evil because they think they're going to make it to heaven through their works. Some of them don't even think there's a heaven anymore. So they're getting so corrupt you can't even keep up with their beliefs, just like with the Christian denominations. You can't keep up with them either because they're all splitting all the time, coming up with some weird doctrine that's not in the Bible. So all people of all time are justified in one way, and that way is faith in Jesus Christ. So you can argue all you want about who is a Jew and who is a Gentile, but guess what? It doesn't really matter. Now, does it? So people are so mixed now. Oh, you think you're white. Oh, you think you're black. Oh, you think you're pure Jew. You think you're pure Chinese. Baloney. Go get a test. Get a DNA test and see for yourself. We're thousands of years after the flood, right? We're way past that, and everybody's mixed. So I don't want to hear that trash about we're the pure race. No, you're not. Go get a test, and you'll see. And you're going to be very disappointed. So the people who call themselves Jews are mixed with all kinds of people too. There is no pure race of Jews. There isn't. What a joke, okay? God doesn't care, and I don't care either. And guess what? And you shouldn't care. So God is the God of who? Oh, only the Jews. No, only the Christian people that believe in the... Well, we're the Jehovah's Witness. It's only us. You know, it's only the Baptists. It's only the Catholic. Hey, it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what denomination. All you got to do right now is change your mind and believe on Jesus Christ. And He says, I will save you. Forget about all the religions and the denominations. Just trust in God. So for those who won't do that and they won't believe on Jesus Christ, the real God, the one that's actually there, He's not going to be your God. He says so. You have to believe on Him. So in order for you to escape from hell, you need God to be your God. Because if He's not, He's not going to save you. So how do you do that? You got to have faith in Him. He will save you, He says, and He's the only one who can do that. There is no man, woman of any time that can save you, only God Almighty, and that's it. With that, let's pray. Father God, we thank You for showing us the truth about the Gentiles in the Bible. We understand where they came from, all the way back to Japheth, and all the way through the New Testament. We now understand what this means, and we thank You for showing us that. And the important part is that You've given salvation to the ends of the earth where anybody can be saved, all the way to the edges of the land, out into the islands, Patmos, anywhere you can think of. You've given salvation to all those who believe in Jesus Christ because He died for all. And all can come to Him by believing on Him and calling out to Him to save them. And we thank You for that. If it wasn't for You, we'd be in deep, deep trouble. So we thank You for all that You do for us each day. And please be with Gary. Help to heal him and help him to get out of there and feel better. Help him to breathe again and heal everything within him. We thank You for that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.